Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our worship this morning. It's good to be back. We had a safe and delightful and successful trip up to far upstate New York, just about 45 miles south of Lake Erie, Pennsylvania, for the wedding and a meeting. And I'm glad that you guys enjoyed the sermon so much last week that you came back, but it's a different preacher this morning, but Andy might be persuaded to share a few nuggets of wisdom after the service, if you so press them. Correct, Andy?
Sir?
Correct response. It's always good to be able to know that the body of Christ functions, not because of the pastor, but because of the Holy Spirit that unites us and together as one, and His word is efficacious. And I'm grateful for Andy and Jen leading last week. It's also nice, and I hope you do this when you travel. I hate to be away, but when I travel, I like going to other churches on Sunday morning, I guess for a couple reasons. One, so I can have an opportunity to sit with my wife, which I usually don't have on Sundays. But also to really reinforce my favorite of the tenets in the Apostles' Creed. It's not the most important tenet, probably, but it's my favorite, and that is a deep understanding of the communion of saints. Because you can travel and be with strangers, yet you're one in Christ Jesus and in our confession and the Word of God. And it was good to be away, good to return. Big question on announcements, and my understanding, unless he's changed in the last 10 minutes, is the host of our pool party says it is on rain or shine. So we are having it, and attend it the way you would anything else. If you want to come, come. If you want to not come, it's no shame in that either, but if you'd like to come, we'll have it. Of course, we won't be sitting in the rain. There are other ways that we can make it work. So just come as you feel led, and just be reminded that the rain never hurt anyone except the Wicked Witch of the West, and I don't think any of you meet that criteria. So we will have a great time together, 2 o'clock at Kelly's. Now, if that changes before noon, I'll mention it at the benediction. Right, Kelly? All right. Any other announcements? Yes, ma'am. Carol.
Ladies will be handing clothes on Tuesday at the clothing
convention. Okay. This Tuesday, the ladies will be hanging clothes at 10 o'clock?
Yes, sir.
10 o'clock at the backside of Pittman Plaza where they have the park view. So I know you guys have a great time doing that. If you haven't been before, see Carolyn, but it'd be a great opportunity. 10 o'clock this Tuesday. Any others? All right, let's shift to, and while we're looking at the announcements, I want you to see we're going to close singing a cappella in the sermon. A little refrain we all probably know. It's on page 413 in your hymnal, but it's also, I just printed it in the bulletin too, if you don't, if that's easier. It's on where the announcements are. If you look to the prayer list, or you have any prayer items, joys or concerns you'd like to share. I want to lift up a couple new ones you see there. Carolyn's grandson, Justice, is having some testing done. He's 23, lives in Arizona. So let's just keep Justice in our prayers. And Carolyn will keep us posted. We want to continue to keep Elgin in our prayers. Gail's mom and a good friend of Webb, his mom, Donna, needs our prayers as she's in the final stages of her life. Any other prayer items? Yes, ma'am, Carrie.
I have a friend, Kelly, who has a granddaughter named Piper. I'm not really sure of her age, but I want to say it was last Sunday, and it's kind of a good thing that she's sharing this because I would have never known. If anybody washes their cars, apparently they make a pot for a car wash. Somehow she got a hold of it and put it in her eyes, and she's been to UVA every single day this week. She had them in her eyes for a long time, and I think she opened them up on Thursday, and they still don't know the damage blood is in the feet, they have to do surgery. She's got a chemical burn. And Callie's been posting it every day.
Her name is Piper?
Piper.
Piper. And how old is Piper?
If I had to say, she probably looks like she's 2 or 3. I'm not really sure. I'd have to ask my cousin. Callie maybe said, no, so. The kinder's out of the house, I've been able to get some information.
Okay.
So we just pray for her and her family.
We will definitely do that. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
And Aggie has been not feeling well this week. And she told me she wasn't feeling well. She would be here today. And last night, she told me she's not going to be here.
Let's keep Agnes in our prayers if she's not feeling well. Thank you for sharing that. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
I have an unsaid prayer. I'm not at liberty to give any details, but or names, but keep that in prayer, if you will. I'll share it with you later.
David has an unspoken prayer request. All right. The Lord knows and is attending. All right. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
I would like to give a praise, particularly to Katie, but to all of the members of, that we have the different people who are in charge of praying for everyone in the church. And this was a really challenging week with my mom. Had some super serious health scares. And it was such a blessing to be able to call Katie and say, this is going on, and she got on the phone and immediately prayed with me, and that was such an incredible blessing. So we have that ministry in our church, and especially for Katie.
Amen. Thank you, and thank you for that reminder that you are, besides my prayers, besides the Board of Elders, you are being prayed for on a daily basis by different prayer warriors in our congregation. So it is a blessing. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you, Katie, and others for serving in that way. Any other prayer requests? Let's go to the Lord. As we sing, so we know that there is a peace that we forfeit when we choose not to bring all things to you in prayer. We have a great, eternal, and unbelievable privilege, secured only through the finished work of Jesus Christ, that we can come into the presence of the immortal, invisible, only wise God, the creator of all things, the sovereign. In a day where most of us don't even have access to a live person when we call a store or a vendor, to think that we have absolute, desired access into the throne room of God Almighty is truly amazing and astounding. And a privilege that should not be forfeited. You love us so much that you sent your Son to make that access possible, as only He could. But since He did, we can and we do. For you are the one who cares for us. So we come and we cast all of our concerns upon you. And cast in a sense of releasing them, no longer needing to obsess over them, totally trusting a God that is, while not understandable, is always trustworthy. So we do that. We just bring our presence all is right in your presence. We ask in particular for not only those concerns on our hearts, but we ask for those things that have been mentioned, for the unspoken that David has. We thank you for your promise that you are working even before we utter. And we trust. We pray that you would be with Kelly's granddaughter, Piper. Tragedies and accidents can happen so quickly, especially with so many environmental poisons and chemicals and other things. And we just pray, as the great physician, you will bring healing to little Piper's eyes. We entrust her to you. We pray that you would be with Agnes, that she will feel better. We pray that you would be with Justice. May the result of the test identify a simple and easily fixable situation. We commit him, his entire family, and in particular his grandmother, to our prayers, to your care. We pray that you would, thanking you for the better week that L. Jean ended the week, and pray that you'll continue to strengthen and comfort her, be with her entire family. We pray that you would be with Donna, with Brian, and all the family and all their friends as she's making her final steps. May memories, even in that time, be made, and may they all rely upon you as our only hope in life and in death. And because you are the only and exclusive Savior, we are quite right to gather to praise your name and your name alone. So we pray that in the upcoming divine service that you would find our worship acceptable and edifying to us. We thank you for the privilege of gathering in your name and for praying in that same precious name. Amen. We gather in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create us a clean heart, O God, and put a new right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us in the willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
You'll look with me. We will use Psalm 100, that wonderfully rejoicing psalm, to call each to worship before we stand and sing that wonderful hymn 516, Like a River Glorious. Be joyful in the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with a song.
Know this, the Lord himself is God. He himself has made us, and we are his. We are his people, and his sheep of pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. give thanks to him and call upon his name.
For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his faithfulness endures from age to age.
Amen.
Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to his children, the children of men, to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. I hated all my toil, in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me, and who knows whether he will be wise or fool. Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God, for apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after wind.
Lord. We sound so good when we sing. As lyrical and musical prayers to you, we pray that through the power of your Spirit and the mighty working of your Word, creating faith in us, that we could live as well as we sing. I must confess, dear Lord, asking forgiveness, that often I may sing just a closer walk with Thee. But if I'm truthful, that is not all. I truly want to walk with Christ, but I want Him to go in a direction that I choose. I truly want to walk with Christ, but I'm often distracted. I confess that having Christ is total satisfaction, but then again, I think of those individuals lost, or those situations moved, or those hopes unfulfilled, and I can look beyond the precious presence eternally before me. May we all, in receiving forgiveness of the ease of distractibility, be refocused. May we turn again, as Isaiah would say, and find perfect peace only to the extent that our eyes, our souls, our minds are focused, stayed, fixated on you and you alone. We understand that it's Christ plus nothing for our salvation. Forgive us of the times that we forget that it's Christ plus nothing for our joy and peace in life. With you, it truly is enough. And that is our peace on earth. That is our hope and security in death. We thank you for Jesus Christ. What a friend we have in Him. And one more correction to what we sing, dear Lord. We are so grateful that it's not just those who trust you wholly who find you wholly true. But as Paul reminded his protege, even when we don't love you with our whole heart, even when we fail to trust you as we should, even when we falter in our faithfulness, we confess that you are always completely, eternally and abundantly faithful. Your faithfulness is our life. Jesus Christ and Him alone, who has made us your children. And as your children, we seek your face, praying boldly the words that Christ gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second reading comes from Colossians 3:1-11. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is your life, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. The second reading.
I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. I would commend again the sermon that Andy preached last week. If you haven't, if you weren't here, it's on our website, and I'd encourage you to listen to it. It would be a blessing. Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon this time in His Word. Our gracious Lord, now may Your Spirit be with our hearts and minds. May they be receptive to Your Word. We would see Jesus in Him alone, and we pray in His name. Amen. Life is all about orientation, about perspective. I get amused often when people say, when you're giving direction, do you turn left or right? I hate that question. I can answer, do you turn north or south, east or west, but to say, do you turn left or right, the only true question answer is what? I don't know. It depends on what perspective you're coming from, what direction you're coming from, what orientation you're approaching it. Life is all about orientation. We use the word often, but if you thought what the word means, I mean, soon teachers and students will have orientation where they'll try to get a handle on the upcoming school year. We get new tools or programs or toys. And the owner's manual seeks to orient us to how to properly use. There's, again, nothing that frustrates me more. I seem like I'm a bundle of frustration, don't I? than to get something that I'm needing to put together, and there's absolutely no instructions. Maybe you might have the imagination and just the ability to put it together. Not I. I need orientation. I need something that helps me put things in the right perspective. We even have a whole art, a science of putting rooms together properly in the right orientation. We call it feng shui. And people pay big money to people to help them put their home and orient it properly. You might think I'm a bundle of frustrations, but you don't like being disoriented either, do you? No one wants to be disoriented, confused, misplaced, uncertain, or to use the biblical word for lost. Lost, which is simply being disoriented. Orientation literally and historically means to arrange buildings to face east. Now, before you think that's real mystical, that there's some religious part of that, let me ask all of you who have experienced a multitude of mornings, why do you think historically people would want their buildings oriented facing east? That's where the light is. The sun rises. And that's all it means. That's why the orientation, the orient, the far east, is where that comes from. And we want to have that fixed point of security that so we can see. But I would also argue that the same play, but a different way to spell sun, is true about a Christian's orientation. We need that fixed point for our security and our direction and our comfort. Because that's where the sun rose and the sun rises. But before we can have this fixed point, we have to have what's called a happy exchange, and we see it. We see that Christ was active in his obedience and keeping the law And then he was obedient passively as he received the punishment for it. And we receive in reverse. We are united with him passively first, and then we're told in the passage that Jen read today, an active union. If you look back to what this base, what chapter 3 is based on, look back in chapter 2 of Colossians, and you'll see that the passive union that is acted upon us in verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith, in the powerful working of God. Baptism is not just a ceremony, a symbol. It is God acting upon us, identifying us with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It is God saving us, not the removal of dirt, not magical water, but God's work upon us. And then Paul picks that up now that we have been united with Christ. Now we have this active union that we are to do, which we see beginning in verse 3. If, and you could also say since then, you have been raised with Christ, seek. Seek. Historically, being reoriented has been called repentance. It's a return back to the truth, a return back. And that's why the very first of the 95 Theses says that life is a continual repentance, a turning back. We didn't just repent one time and everything was set right and then we were done. It's a constant repentance. I'm going to use another word picture, another thing that I truly love. I use it even when I know the way, is Waze. Do any of you have the Waze app or something similar? Or GPS in your car or your phone? You know what? Like I sang today, I can tell you, I absolutely trust some female from Australia's voice that gives me direction. And she has always been wholly true. But sometimes they don't use the word orienting, or they don't use the word repentant or repenting, but it'll say on my phone, recalculate. Recalculate. And what's frustrating for me, even though she's never failed me, even though she's always been completely and wholly true, what really still gets me is that when it does the recalculating, and you get that little circle that keeps going like this, is I hate having to wait. Why does it take so long? Why can't it just immediately tell me? Why do I have to drive for a period of time where it's searching for service? And I know the direction is in there, and I know she has never led me astray, and I know I can completely trust it. But my goodness, I want to see it. I want to know it, and I want it to quit thinking and respond to me. Brothers and sisters, I would suggest to you that in our Christian life, that's often the source of our lack of peace. It's not that we have ever been misled or abandoned or betrayed or let down by Jesus. I'd ask you, and you can talk to me after service. You can interrupt the sermon right now if you'd like. If God Almighty in Christ Jesus has ever misled you or let you down or proven untrue. The truth of the matter is, I think if God Almighty was going to destroy his character of absolute and eternal faithfulness, he wouldn't do it on people as insignificant as us. he probably would have left Billy Graham standing in the cold. The truth of the matter is, he is perfectly faithful. And aren't you grateful with me? Unlike what we sang, even though I love Like a River Glorious, aren't you grateful that it's not just those who have trusted him wholly that find him wholly true? I'm grateful that we all have found him wholly true. It's just that period where we have to sort of wait. It's a process of orientation where life is sort of telling us there's a recalculating going on. And I don't know how it's going to route me. I don't know what the ultimate next step is going to be, but I know I'm not going to be lost. I know I'm not going to be misled. I know that it's not going to fail me. And in this process, Paul gives us two simple, though not easy, directions. And he alliterated it for me. In verse 1, he simply says, if or since you have been raised with Christ in baptism, as he talked about in chapter 2, seek those things. Now we think of it backwards. We think you seek for God and then you are redeemed. Paul, the scripture, Christ, they understand correctly, we don't seek before we're united with Christ. It's subsequent to. No one seeks after God, Paul tells us in Romans 3. So if we can only seek once he has united himself with us, his work. It's interesting here that both this word, and I'll go ahead and tell you the second direction, and we'll get to it in a minute, in verse 2, set, fixate your mind. Both of these are in the Greek, and let me give you a very brief, because it's helpful, Greek lesson. In Greek, we have it somewhat in English, but not as prominent. In Greek, there's every verb has a tense, a voice, and a mood. And both of these, seek and set, are in the present, active, imperative. What that means is present just means it's continual. It's not just one time. It's continual, like breathing. When you're trying to resuscitate someone and you're frantically saying, breathe, 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 it's not enough if they say, okay, I did it, I'm done. You want them to continue to breathe. It's much in the same way in our prayer life. I appreciated what Andy said about the secret of prayer last week. And the secret of prayer is just pray. Just do it. Just seek. Just set. Continually. It's active. It's you are, as the Holy Spirit is empowering you, coming out of that union with him. You are the one. No one else is going to make you focus upon Christ. No one else has that secret key that'll make your life have peace. You are the one that has to seek and set. And the mood is imperative. This is not optional. I guess it's optional if you want to be miserable. You don't have to. But Isaiah 26:3, which we've sung and which we've referred to, makes it like an equation. He will keep him in perfect peace to the degree that, or whose mind is stayed or set on thee, on God. We are to seek the Lord. But he plays hide and seek, in a way that friends I had as a child didn't play hide and seek. He says, seek after the Lord, but when you played hide and seek, back if you can remember, and I hope it was a long time ago that you played hide and seek. But if you can think back on that, when you went and hid, you did not want to be found, did you? You wanted to find a good, elusive hiding place. The good news of the gospel's brothers and sisters, and what I get to proclaim every Sunday morning, is God wants to be found. So much that he tells us to play hide and seek, to seek after him, but then he tells us where he's going to hide. And he hides in Jesus Christ as we find him in the word preached, the sacraments received. He's not hiding out there. People say, well, God just seems to be absent. And I understand. It's those periods of life where the GPS is calculating. But I need to tell you, even when your GPS is calculating and you're not aware of the next step, that doesn't mean the next step's not there, right? The direction, the path is not waiting on your GPS. It's there. My mother has used for many, many years, and I'll be honest, quite early, I thought that's sort of trite. There has to be a more deep theological way to say it. And I thought, no, maybe it's not. I've learned and leaned into, she's exactly right. God's got it. God's got it. Whether I see them on my screen, or it's still just calculating. His silence doesn't mean he's not there. His silence doesn't mean there's not a path. His silence is simply that time where I take refuge in that which is always crystal clear in presence, and that is the beautiful face of Jesus Christ. I seek him, and I set my mind on him. There's just that absolute connection between my peace and my focus. Remember, you're baptized. Again, might sound like a theological statement, might just sound like a slogan, but don't you find your peace and well-being in life as simple as, what are you thinking? What are you thinking about? Do you think about your baptism? Do you remember, as Paul says here, that you are dead? And there's a lot of freedom in death, isn't there? Dead people don't worry about bills, do they? Dead people don't worry about deadlines. Dead people don't worry about other people's image and thoughts of them. Dead people don't worry about anything. Dead people don't have to wrestle with those temptations that we see Paul going on in Colossians 3 talking about. I don't think dead people ever lust or get greedy. In the gospel reading, I don't think dead people really worry a whole lot that they're not keeping up with the Joneses, that they haven't made the corner office yet, that their brother or sister seems to be outdoing them in life. I don't think that's a concern of those who have died. And what we take comfort is, and we remember, that we are dead to these things. But also we remember, as we remember our baptism and we set our mind on it, is we are also alive in Christ Jesus. And do you also remember, as we reflect on our baptism, Jesus Christ rose. Amen. Victoriously. Victoriously. Joy is often postponed until the morning. And it's appropriate during that weeping and wailing through the night. But joy does come in the morning. And if you're not in a place now of joy, it's not the morning yet. So go back to sleep and rest and set your mind on Jesus Christ. I want you to do this sermon with me and end it with me, because it's this simple. The words are written there. You can find it on 4:13. But I want us, maybe a couple times, just to sing together. Because at the end of the day, we know enough. It's just whether or not we're going to seek and set. We know all we need to know. We just need to do it. I guess I could say the secret of life in Christ is, Andy said the secret of prayer is there's no secret, just do it. The secret of life in Christ is just look at Christ. Stay focused on Christ. Seek Him where He said He'd be found. Set your mind on Him and Him alone. And I would hope that some voices far better than mine will pick this up as we sing this a cappella, so that I'm not doing a very uncomfortable and unpleasant solo. But let us sing as an act of prayer this refrain from 4:13. Let us begin.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Again.
Join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right to lift our hearts to you, Almighty God, for your Spirit brooded over the waters before the foundation of the world. Your pillar of fire led your people to freedom. Through the waters of the Red Sea, your Son Jesus came to His disciples across the stormy waves of Galilee. In His agonizing death, we see how far we stray from you, and in His resurrection, we see how you draw us close. Despite our betrayals and failures, we long for the day when all the saints adore Thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, sing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, Hosanna,
full of your glory.
Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We thank you and praise you, Lord God, because in Jesus Christ you come to us, call us to you, lift us when we fear and fail and fall, and stay with us through the storm. Come among us now through the power of your Spirit, that we may be transformed into your likeness. As we have been buried with you in death, may we look to you, the source of all resurrection. And may these gifts of bread and wine be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which was shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Everlasting God, you promise us the righteousness that comes from faith, and you assure us that everyone who calls upon your name will be saved. Be close to all who struggle to believe. Make yourself known to any who have never heard. Empower those who are called to proclaim, and bless the ones you have sent. Visit those who are hungry. Be among them as the bread of life. Comfort any who are thirsty. Restore them with your fountain of living water. Strengthen all who are at sea in the trials and travails of life. Come to them across the waters and make your home with them. We pray in union with Christ in the power of your Holy Spirit, who helps us in our weakness and intercedes with sighs too deep for words. Father of all, now and forever.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take unto me my yoke, for my yoke is easy. This table is prepared for those who would like an exchange, to come and to leave their sin, their heartbreak, their worries, their anxieties, and take this precious resurrected Savior who does come to us all across the waters of any and every storm, making his presence in a very real way. This is the very body and blood of Christ, offered by him to all who love him in sincerity and truth, to come and to receive and to know that in him is hope and life and peace forevermore. For we are not worthy, but just speak the word and we are healed. Come and receive.
understand this is the body of Christ, broken for you, and the blood of Christ is shed for you.
Well, I'm
thank you, our Father, that you have given us a beacon, eternal light, in the darkness of life that gives us comfort and direction, peace and reassurance. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, that led us to faith. May the same Spirit keep us oriented to the only true focus, the eternal Son of God. We give you thanks in all things. Amen. Let us stand and confess through the final hymn as we close our worship today. Service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.